Well, as I mentioned before, today is the feast of Christ the King, and it's the last Sunday after Pentecost. You'll notice, as I mentioned before, the church is decorated in white. We're not in green, but we have white because this is a very special occasion. Next week, the church will begin another season, and that's the season of Advent. Right in front of me here is going to be the Advent wreath with the four candles. And then, of course, everything will be in purple, including the priest and the deacon. We'll be wearing our white albs, but the stoles will be purple. It is the beginning of the greatest season of the year, because from Christ the King to the four Sundays of Advent, and then the greatest celebration of all, and that is Christmas. When we remember Christ coming into the world as a baby with the precious gift of salvation through his sacrifice for us. Now, during this Thanksgiving week, think about it. We truly have so much to be thankful for. Next Sunday, as I mentioned, we begin the penitential season of Advent, and we light a different candle each of the 4 weeks, three purple and one that is pink, but it's really the liturgical color is rose. So you'll see that out here next week as we prepare to remember the birth of our Lord, but we also should be preparing for his coming again. Matthew chapter 25 tells us that the Son of Man will come again in a cloud with great glory. A trumpet will sound, and angels will welcome him. Come, Lord Jesus. There were angels the first time when Jesus was born, and there will be angels when Jesus comes again. Come, Lord Jesus. Our gospel reading today is at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, and it's one of the most painful readings, usually reserved for Good Friday. Jesus Christ is finally being recognized as a king, but he's recognized in mockery. A sign is nailed to the top of the cross declaring him as King of the Jews. But once again, it's in mockery. Also in mockery, a Roman soldier acting as a royal cupbearer brings King Jesus a drink, a foul, cheap, sour wine. And I got to tell you, that's certainly not a drink that's fit for a king, but instead it's a drink for the poor. Then to top it all off, Jesus is given a crown, not a glorious golden crown that he deserves, but instead it's a crown of thorns, and it's struck deep into his head. Then the soldiers divided his robes, casting lots in mockery and jest. Jesus of Nazareth, our king, was crucified and hung between two real criminals in one of the cruelest ways imaginable. Being nailed to a cross, I can't even imagine a spike being driven through your hand, then the other hand, and then being put through your ankles to get it through to the bone. One of the criminals taunted Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ," meaning the Messiah? "Save yourself and us." And the other one recognized that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and then asked Jesus for something that only a king could give, mercy, for him to be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom. These two criminals are a perfect example of the two ways in which people can choose to live. One is denying Christ, making a mockery of everything that he is, that he's done, making a joke out of him, and just calling him a good teacher, a preacher, but not the Son of God. And then on the other hand, one is seeking him, acknowledging him and his kingship, his lordship, and asking for his forgiveness, wanting to spend all of eternity in his glorious presence. We should be talking to Jesus on a regular basis, having a conversation and a relationship with him. Now, the painful truth is that sin separates us from God. We need to remember that we're all sinners, with no exception. There's not one person here today that has not committed a sin in their life. Does anyone here walk on water? Does anyone here change water into wine? Does anyone here perform miracles on a regular basis? No, you don't. You're regular people. You're not God. You're human. And yet, God provides something for each one of us sinners to be able to get what we don't deserve. You see, if each one of us got what we deserved, we'd be dying a painful, painful death. And yet, He gives us forgiveness and mercy so that we don't get what we deserve. Think about that. That's how much He loves you. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. And I pray that you brought your sins before the Lord, seeking His forgiveness. It's that easy. He wants to forgive you. God's holy. And because of your sin, you simply can't come into His presence. But when that sin is forgiven, it's washed away, whiter than white. And I want to share with you some important words that were written about 600 years before Jesus was born from the prophet Isaiah. And it is Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. See, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear. Rather, your iniquities have been barriers between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. God does not want for us to be apart from Him. No, He does not. And only God can save us, and only God can bridge the divide so that we can cross over to Him and be in His grace, in His mercy, His love, and His presence. Sin has to be punished. And if God left us alone, we'd have absolutely no hope. But the punishment was taken. It was done. It was done on the cross for you and me. You know, you've heard the term, Jesus paid the price. And what a price it was. It's heartbreaking to read about the cross and the mocking of Jesus as King of the Jews. Jesus has clearly expressed and has shown the true meaning of His kingship, His lordship, and the meaning of the kingdom itself. He's reached out to people who others might consider the wrong people, tax collectors and sinners, and He's offered peace, hope, and healing to all people of God's coming judgment. On the day that we call Good Friday, it's a little warmer usually then, but on the day we call Good Friday, He's finally hailed as King, but again, it's in mockery. That's a far cry from the procession into Jerusalem that took place on the day that we call Palm Sunday. People bowed down to Him. They put their coats in the street so that He could pass through. But, everything was in ridicule up until that point. Then Palm Sunday took place, and the same people who are singing Hosanna and are now screaming something else. They're screaming, "Crucify Him." His true royalty shines out in His prayer and His promise. Unlike traditional martyrs who died with a curse against their torturers and murderers, Jesus prays for their forgiveness. Remember these words? He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's Luke 23, 34. Like a king on his way to coronation, Jesus promises a place of honor and delight to those who request it. Forgiveness brings the life of heaven to earth, God's future into the present. In our reading from the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Colossians, it's amazing and it's truly about a king. Let me share it with you once again. He wrote, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have that supremacy. Now that's truly a king. Imagine what it would be like being in the presence of royalty. Not too many of us get to experience that, because here in our country we're not led by royalty. And so unless you've had a royal invitation to meet the royal leaders of a country, you just can't imagine what it's like, or even how to behave. And we've all seen movies and plays about royalty. And as a matter of fact, if you're watching the new channel with the Christmas movies on it, or even the old Hallmark channel, there's always some movies about a girl who meets a prince or a king, and you get a chance to see how people react to a king. One day, every believer in Jesus Christ will be able to stand in his presence. Can you just imagine that? Remember, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he'll put you at ease because you know him already and are connected with him in a very special way. He loves you enough to die for you. I believe that he will welcome you into his royal kingdom, welcoming you as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. The image of the sacrificial lamb appears all throughout scriptures. John the Baptist said this about Jesus when he was coming toward him. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Every Sunday we sing those words in a hymn that's called the Agnus Dei. It's not Agnes, it's Agnus Dei. And it's on page 136 of our Book of Common Prayer. We seek his mercy and his peace. John the Baptist saw what no one else could see at that time, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who had come into the world to die so that we could be freed from the verdict that comes with sin. Revelation chapter 7 gives us a glimpse of the throne room of the king. And that chapter ends with these precious words. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Jesus loves us, and his love is everlasting, and his mercy is abundant and filled with his love. And so today and every day, as we worship Christ the King, we need to remember how we should live. Our lives should be about the Lamb that took our place on the cross. Our lives should be about preparing to join him when he gloriously comes again or calls us to be with him. And finally, our lives should be about living the message of forgiveness and love that can only be found in Jesus Christ, who told us the night before he died that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. And in closing, I want to suggest to you that the way that we can really show Christ's love is for us to tell others what Christ the King did for us so that they too might live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.